Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Will Johnson. UniteAmericaFirst.com is the website. Thank you so much for joining me. It is Tuesday, November the 22nd, 2022. Wow, this year has gone by. Shannon is riding with me. She's a producer. She makes sure that everything is in order. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. You know, I just did a little short video on Facebook, Shannon, saying that you are great. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you said I was great?
Absolutely. Thank you for being here with me. Thank you for participating. Thank you for keeping me in line. And everybody, thank you so much again for being here with us. It is Thanksgiving weekend. It's Thanksgiving week. And it's just been so much going on. It's like the news has been going like a roller coaster up and down, but it's never ending. But anyways, thank you so much for being with us. We have a lot to share with you. Kevin McCarthy, Shannon. You know what? I talked about Kevin McCarthy so many times, and I said, I hope that I want to be wrong about Kevin McCarthy, because right now it seems like Kevin McCarthy is actually coming out, putting his foot down. But now I've said this in the past too, like, you know, I would call him sometimes McCarthy.
Right.
Sometimes he would be strong. Sometimes he wouldn't be. Sometimes he would, you know, say the right things. And sometimes he wouldn't say the right things. And sometimes when he should say something, sometimes he wouldn't say something. And, you know, it's just, but right now he has the Democrats all in knots. The Democrats right now, they're furious by some of the stuff that he's just said. He hasn't done anything yet, but he's telling them what's coming down the pipeline. And right now the Democrats are furious about the things that he's been saying.
Yeah, he sure has been saying some things that have been touching their nerve. But listen, we also have to remember McCarthy right now is running for a seat. He's running for Speaker of the House. He's saying what he's going to do. He's making his case to the rest of the House because they want his vote, right?
He wants their vote.
So, but listen, he has been saying some great things, and today he's at the border, right? Which
the left says is a political stunt.
You know, yeah, right. They always say it's a political stunt, but to be honest, there's a real problem there, right? A political stunt is saying something's Russia collusion and doing $42 million later, right? Investigation, and
that's a political stunt,
and come up with nothing. This isn't a political stunt. This is really trying to get to one of the biggest problems here in America, and that is our border and our security. Will,
yes,
it can't be ignored. So I'm glad that one of the first things that he is doing is going to the border, because that's one of the things that the Republican voters said repeatedly that they wanted. They want border security.
And what's interesting is that you have the liberal media news trying to say that the Republicans only talk about the southern border because they want it to be an issue. So why in the world would Republicans constantly say build a wall if they want the border to be an issue? Why would the Republicans say stop all the drug trafficking, stop all the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, if they want it to be an issue? Why would they say that? Why would they even go through the steps to prevent all of the drugs and the sex trafficking all coming across the southern border, this invasion? Why would they go through extra measures under President Trump to prevent it from happening if they want it to be an issue?
You know, and that's funny, because one of the arguments that we heard that make on the news today was, hey, if they want to do something, why don't they do something and stop talking about it? And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, did you not recall that under Trump, they actually did do something? And the first thing that the Biden administration was get rid of everything that they did.
Yes.
And so for them to say that we don't want to do something, you're absolutely correct. We do want to do something, and we have done something. Listen to this today. This is what you and I actually, these are the headlines I get excited about, because I love this. It says on Fox News today, it says McCarthy calls on Mayorkas to resign or potentially face impeachment inquiry. He said enough is enough. I love it. He said Tuesday, that's this morning, Homeland Security Mayorkas needs to resign over his handling of the migrant crisis at the border or potentially face an impeachment inquiry when Republicans take control of the House in January. His actions have produced the great wave of illegal immigration in recorded history, McCarthy said at a press conference in El Paso, Texas, during a tour of the southern border. He said, "This is why today I am calling on the secretary to resign. He cannot and must not remain in that position. If Mayorkas does not resign, the Republicans will investigate." Listen to this, Will. He says, "They will investigate every order, every action, and every failure to determine where we can begin an impeachment inquiry." I love that. I mean, that was a powerful statement.
Yeah. You know, but sadly, the Democrats control the Senate, but if they impeach him in the House, it has to go over to the Senate.
Right. And that's the whole thing.
The Senate has to deal with it. And when the Senate starts talking about this, Republicans will get an opportunity to give their case in the Senate, and the world will be able to see. And then the Democrats will have to go on front, on the floor, and lie to the American people that Mayorkas is doing a great job, when the Republicans can show videos and have documents and have the poster boards showing all of the deaths, showing all of the trafficking, and they won't be able to argue and say it's made up.
Right, right. You know what? I think that it puts them on the defense, and that's what we want. They have to now defend themselves. Right now they're lying, right? Because today we watched a press conference with Jean-Pierre. Oh my goodness.
Karine Jean-Pierre.
You won't believe what she actually said today. She actually said that they are working to stop fentanyl from coming into America. She said they are already stopping it. It's not coming across the border. It's not hitting the streets. And Will and I were sitting there going, what? I mean, that's a total, complete lie. I mean, of course it's hitting the streets. We have, what does she think these 300, over 300 deaths now a day are?
Yeah.
And it's getting,
you know what?
So
they don't
bad.
Acknowledge them. They don't acknowledge the deaths.
They do not acknowledge it. 100%. Right. You know what? If that was a school shooting every day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they would be.
Or if it was an airplane every day.
They would be acknowledging.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because then they could use it for their narrative. Then they can use it against the American people.
Right. But because their policy is perpetuating the problem.
Yes.
They're not going to talk about it. Let me just read one more thing, because this got me excited too. It said, McCarthy said that he spoke to Representative Jim Jordan and James Comer, the ranking Republicans of the Judiciary and Oversight Committee, and say they have his complete support to investigate the collapse of the border. He said those responsible for this disaster will be held accountable.
Nice, nice.
You know what? I just hope now, it comes
you know
to
what?
Reality.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's like I was saying earlier, that I want McCarthy to prove me wrong and say all the stuff that he did in the past, Will, you just didn't understand it. And I would gladly accept that, because if he comes in and he puts the hammer down and they actually start exposing these Democrats for who they truly are, then I would, you know, I'll become a McCarthy fan. But right now I'm still, I'm still on the edge of my seat with him. And only reason being is because maybe he's just saying the right thing to get people to vote for him.
Well, let's be honest. I think we're on the edge of our seat for all of them to do the right thing.
Yes.
Because we have stood down too many times, right? And I think that we're ready for people to take action. We're ready for them to expose these people and actually bring some oversight and accountability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just to the border, but, to everything. The FBI as a whole.
The FBI, the DOJ, everything, all of it. They have the federal government is no longer for the people, by the people.
It's not. It is definitely a partisan.
They're tyrants. Yeah. It's completely.
Ted Cruz called them the henchmen of the Biden administration, yeah. The FBI and the DOJ today.
Literally. So. Okay, so let me play this audio clip with Karine Jean-Pierre, where she's actually saying that they're stopping the fentanyl from coming into the streets of America. She said they're actually stopping it. Listen to this. And if you want to give me a call, you know what? Let me go ahead and get the phone line system here. But if you want to give me a call, I'm going to get the phone line system going here, and you can give me a call and tell me. You know, if you know someone that was directly affected with fentanyl, call me and tell me about it. But listen to what Karine Jean-Pierre had to say.
Mm-hmm. He brought 20 leaders together to collaboratively manage the immigration challenge impacting the whole Western Hemisphere. And we're stopping fentanyl before it even makes it to the streets of the United States. So we have a plan. We've been putting that forward.
She's literally lying. We're stopping fentanyl even before it hits the streets. Now, they're not stopping it. They're not even trying to stop it. You know who's stopping any when they do stop it? It's the Border Patrol. It's the National Guard. Mm-hmm. It's police officers. When they catch these criminals coming across with the drugs, the Biden regime has never come out there and said, we need to stop the drugs from coming across the border. He's never said that.
But you know what's also interesting, Will, is they catch these people and then somehow they elude arrest. You know, we had people, there was the instance of the two men in LA. Mm-hmm. They had enough fentanyl to kill like a million people, I think they said. They had the cash to spill. They got out. They said that the over the prison system, because they were in the jail, said they didn't even get to question them on anything, where they got the fentanyl, anything. The prosecutor swooped in, grabbed them, took them out of jail. Then they never returned, of course, for their court date. And then, of course, a warrant went out for their arrest. And
these are people that had the potential of killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Right. And then you have the people in Arizona that actually pulled over a car. They got a whole bunch of fentanyl and somehow they eluded the arrest or got away while they were in custody, got away before they even got him to jail and arrested him. I'm sitting here going, what on earth? And then in New York, just last week, they caught a whole bunch of people with fentanyl again. And guess what?
They got away.
They got out on cashless bail.
They got out on cashless bail.
Cashless bail. Same day.
Same day.
Didn't even keep them in custody.
Same day.
Yeah.
Fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. It literally can kill you.
Just one pill.
There's more people killing people. Fentanyl is killing people more than guns or anything else right now in America.
Yes.
Fentanyl.
Yes. And now they're talking about bringing back a mass mandate. What about the fentanyl? The fentanyl is killing more people than the COVID ever did, right? The fentanyl is killing more people than the vaccine is killing, right? Right? 300 a day? And the Democrats, they're not even trying to talk about stopping it. Oh, that's political, trying to stop the deaths of people dying from fentanyl. You're being political. What? We're talking about lives of men, women, and children, American lives that are being killed for senseless reasons, right? Because they're saying it's political to stop the drugs.
And let me tell you, it's not just the fentanyl people that are taking the fentanyl, unknowingly taking fentanyl, by the way. They package it as Percocet and other things, right?
Yeah, it looks like candy. But, they said one thing looked like Skittles.
All the people that are being human trafficked, the sex violations that are happening, the people that are dying, you know, in the rivers and just the trip here. But listen to this, Will. This is a really sad story to me. Oh, my gosh. This broke my heart when I read this morning. This is on the Western Journal. It's about the Border Patrol. It says, we lost our purpose. Overwhelmed, Border Patrol sees alarming surge in agent suicides. This is a horrible, horrible story, right? It says, U.S. Customs and Border Protection has seen 4 personnel die by suicide in the last 2 weeks, Will.
Because they're overwhelmed.
It says National Border Patrol Vice President at Large Sergio Marino, who is part of the agency's National Suicide Prevention Workforce, revealed to Daily Caller News Foundation. 3 border agents died by suicide in the 2-week period, the first 2 in the Rio Grande sector, the 3rd in the El Paso sector Sunday, and the 4th, a CBP officer, also on Sunday. The surge in suicides comes as the CBP personnel experience low morale amid record illegal immigration ushered in by several Biden administration border and immigration policies. It says an increasing number of agents taking their own lives led to the agency to hire the first suicidologist to step in at the first half of the 2021. Corso is conducting an investigation into the incidents, according to Marino, who recently traveled with Corso to the Rio Grande sector. Under the current administration, this is a quote, we are not allowed to do the full functions of the Border Patrol, the enforcement aspect, Marino said, citing conversations that distraught colleagues of the deceased agents are saying. So they're saying, listen, you know, the Biden administration is saying doing everything we can, but literally the Border Patrol is saying, listen, they're not even letting us enforce our laws. That's number one we should be
doing. I've been down to the border multiple times, and I've actually talked to Border Patrol agents, you know, off the record, right? They wouldn't do it on camera, but I've had multiple Border Patrol agents saying that their hands are tied. The old Biden regime has made their jobs living hell.
Living hell.
Seriously, living hell.
Right now than it has
been. And to the point now to where you have these Border Patrol agents taking their lives. Look, now think about this. These Border Patrol agents, they could have pursued a different career. Mm. Think about that. They could have pursued a different career, but this is the career that they wanted because they wanted to serve and protect. And then you have the federal government, the Biden regime, preventing them from serving and protecting. They're there to serve and protect the American people, but the Biden regime does not want that to happen. They do not want that to take place. They want the chaos. And I've said this so many times. And now people are starting to kind of start seeing, oh, yeah, you know, maybe Will is right. Maybe the Democrats truly do want chaos on the planet. Maybe the Democrats truly want destruction of America. Maybe they do want it, you know, but a lot of people see it too. A great deal of Americans see it. That's why this past election, everyone was saying that the Democrats were going to be blown out the water because they should have been. Because of all of the damage that they have done. But, you know, things made a different twist because the Democrats have figured out how to game the system.
Yeah, it's tragic. And, you know, it's not only just that they're not able to do their job, but think of all the things that they're seeing and experiencing.
You know, oh, my goodness, the children.
You know, we reported a couple of weeks ago how the border agency is working to take children, young girls, yep, who are not accompanied but with a parent, to get abortions in other states because it's not available at the border states. And they're literally, you know, celebrating the fact that they're doing this for these young girls.
And that is,
I'm sitting there going, can you imagine the trauma of, first of all, traveling to America, everything that they went through, being raped, all this stuff.
Multiple times.
Being separated from your parent because they're minors.
Yes.
And then getting here. And then literally, I feel like when I read the story, I felt like they were political pawns of the Democrat Party because they were praising themselves for being able to transfer these kids to other states because, you know, Texas doesn't allow abortions. I'm sitting here going, what are you even talking? You should be more upset at the fact that that poor young girl
was
had
raped.
To travel here,
yes,
and raped because of the policies that are driving this surge.
Yeah, because of the Biden regime and the Democrats saying, hey, world, our southern border is wide open. Just get here and you can walk on through. And what's happening, these young girls, and I've been down to the border where the panties, dude. Condoms, yeah. Birth control pills.
I mean, it's just
so much. And I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm like, dude, it's nothing but filth. Our southern border looks like a third world country with all the garbage, all of the clothes, the IDs that they drop because once they get here, I need new ID. Right. They drop everything. They drop their entire lives right there. And they say, Border Patrol, take me in. And because of the Biden administration, the Biden regime, they're taking them in and transporting them through other places. And they want to transport them only to red states.
The sad thing is there's a tragic story that goes with every single one of those condoms and panties. And I think they've said they found drugs. They found so many different things at the border. That's happening, that you know that is happening to these migrants, right? Anyways,
it's just the thought of it, right?
It's
just the thought of it.
Actually.
If you have children yourself, can you imagine? And the you know what's really crazy, Shannon? You know, if you have children right now, you can't even imagine it right now because you do anything you can to protect your child, right? At least rational thinking people. Mm-hmm. But as we're sitting here talking about it, it's happening on the border right now. And now there's even more people coming. There's more people coming now. And they're saying that it's possibly going to hit the border even harder than ever before. They're anticipating between 7,000 and 15,000 a day.
Yeah. I mean, the sad thing is that it's becoming a bigger problem. And, you know, it's funny because they were saying that, well, the problem that the Biden administration, that Trump had, is not the same problem that the Biden administration has now. You know what? You know the only difference in the opinion, in the problem is the fact that Biden told them to come. He told them to come. He told them to ask for asylum, to say the right things, to do the right things, to be able to come across that border. They literally created the circumstance for this surge to happen. So you can't blame it on the circumstances are different, because you actually created a problem. Trump was trying to eliminate the problem. That's the only two differences that I see.
Yeah. And President Trump was putting up a wall, where the left is trying to say, well, Trump wasn't doing a wall. Remember, they're trying to, I mean, yeah. it's really, they're now saying that Trump wasn't doing a wall.
Well, they're literally saying it, like, well, he didn't finish it.
Well, yeah.
And we're sitting there thinking, well, what obstacles did you consistently put in his way so he couldn't start to do the wall? But listen, even before that, the biggest thing that Trump put out there was that the border was closed.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing.
Yep.
He said, the border's closed. Don't come. If you do, suffer the consequences.
Yep.
That's the difference.
And now they're upset with McCarthy because he went down to the border. They're upset with him because he's down at the border, and they're saying that McCarthy is making this a political stunt, when you still have Joe Brandon have yet to visit the border and bring awareness to it and say we need to stop it. Kamala Harris, which is the border czar, until she passed it off to somebody else, and then they fired that person trying to act like they're doing, like they're tough on it, right? They have yet to go down to the border. These people, look, the southern border, even our northern border, this is the borders, period. The borders, the ports, that's ran by the federal government. The federal government controls that. The federal government is not doing their jobs. And that's why Governor Abbott is talking about putting gunboats on the river. Something has to be done to stop this. Something has to be done to prevent all of this trafficking from happening on our southern border. And just the same way they've destroyed other nations, we're seeing it happen right now, right before our eyes. So I'm going to be optimistic here, and I'm going to say, you know what, let's go, McCarthy. Please do keep your word. Do what you're saying. Bring the hammer down. Get these people. Expose them to the world. And let everybody know how they have been screwing up. Because the liberal media, they don't talk about it. The liberal media, they're saying that McCarthy removing these people from committees, Adam Pencilneck Schiff, Ilhan Omar, and a few others, Swalwell, saying that removing him from committees, he's only playing political games. But you have to do this when these people are corrupt.
100%. Absolutely. I agree. I mean, you know, I guess he's already started, because he's already put the Democrats on defense. The media is too.
I like,
you
know, it
the
too.
The only reason why
demons will protect demons. I hear you get ready to go to it. Demons will protect demons.
Well, the only reason why Jean-Pierre was talking about the fentanyl is because the media is questioning them about it. They want to know from the Biden administration, what are you going to do? What's your response? What is happening? You know, even the media cannot deny the fact that the numbers are going up and not enough is being done, if anything at all is being done.
But what's interesting to me is that the media didn't say anything before, and it got to this point, sure, when their families can be affected as well.
You know, the problem has to get bad enough for somebody to see the problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have to be affected by it directly and realize, wait a minute, I've been supporting this and not even realizing that I'm supporting. But you know what? I don't give in. That's no excuse for these people that's in the media, in the news.
Yeah.
These people that are talking to the press secretary, asking questions, if they don't know, then they've been completely brainwashed, because you and I, we look at this information and we study this information and we relay this information, and then we see it happening. The people listening in right now, they see it happening. So how come these reporters haven't figured it out? Listen to Karine Jean-Pierre as she tries to say that McCarthy going down to the southern border is a political stunt.
You know, I know I've heard that Mayorkas is, pardon me, that Kevin McCarthy's at the border. And the question that we have for Kevin McCarthy, who's soon to be Speaker McCarthy, you know, what is his plan? What is he doing to help the situation that we're seeing? What is his plan? He goes down there and he does a political stunt, like many Republicans do, that we have seen them do, but he actually is not putting forth a plan to help us, you know, deal with an issue that we're all seeing, that you all are reporting.
I mean, she's straight up lying through her rabbit
teeth. And actually, we're going to play a recording of what McCarthy has in plan. We'll do it after a phone call. But before we get to this phone call, I just want to bring up one other thing. You know, there's Mark Kelly, who is a Democrat who just won his, supposedly won his election down in Arizona, right? And even he is slamming the Democrats over the border. Right. The Democrat was blunt when he was asked if he thought his party was doing a good job in recognizing the magnitude of the problem at the southern border and Americans' frustrations with it not being addressed. Right. And he said, absolutely not. Not even close. He told the paper, he said, when I first got to Washington, it didn't take me long to realize that there are a lot of Democrats who don't understand our southern border and a lot of Republicans who just want to talk about it. Now, that's his summation. But the thing is he knows there's a problem and he admits that the Democrats don't even understand the magnitude of it, which is frustrating that they're not even going, you know, there's been enough talk about it to where they could all have taken a trip and gone down there.
But
let's take this phone call and then we'll get let's
go to the clip.
Oh, okay.
So listen to McCarthy as he talks about the southern border, because they're upset because McCarthy went down there, right? They're upset, but just listen to this.
Yeah, and we're talking with Monica De La Cruz this morning. I know you're headed to the border on Tuesday, but that 18,000 day estimate that they're talking about once Title 42 goes away is going to mean 6.5 million people entering this country illegally on a yearly basis. We've already seen 5 million enter illegally from overseas to America just on Joe Biden's watch. Can you do anything to send money to the border? Are you going to be able to move the needle on this problem?
Well, Maria, you're right. You've been one of the leaders on this, of educating the American people what's happening on this border. Well, no longer will the Democrats be able to ignore the problem. When I become speaker, and I'm traveling to the border next Tuesday for a number of different reasons. One, to thank these border agents for all the work they've done, being overwhelming. Get the latest information. Sit with the members as well, because we will roll out, like we've already have, the ability to secure this border. But when I become speaker, I'll move meetings actually at the border, so the Democrats can no longer ignore the problem, so the American public can actually have the information, and we'll move legislation on the floor to secure that border out of the House onto the Senate, and we will continue to fight to make this happen. It's not just the millions of illegal people coming across this border. This is where the fentanyl from China comes that will kill 300 Americans today, the number one killer of the next generation. This is where people on the terrorist watch list, more than 98 that have entered this nation. Are they coming here? What do they have planned? Who are they talking with?
Wow. 300 people dead a day from fentanyl. That's incredible.
But that's all political. It's just a political stunt that you want to bring awareness of people dying from fentanyl. I mean, really? We got more issues. We got climate change to concern with. We got concerns about people disliking the elemental P community. We have those concerns. We're not concerned about fentanyl coming across the border, killing 300 people a day. We're concerned about some nut job going to a club and shooting up people living a sodomy lifestyle. That's more pressing than people and children dying of fentanyl every day.
I mean, that's definitely the optics that they put out there. Yeah. But listen, you know what? The sad thing is, or the one thing I do like about what McCarthy said, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but he was saying that he's going to hold the meeting about the border at the border, which will force the Democrats to come to go down there and view what is happening.
Once he becomes the House.
Yeah.
Once he becomes the representative of the House.
Yeah.
House leader, rather.
Right. Yeah. Which will be,
can the Democrats refuse to go still?
I mean, I'm sure. Well, they don't even have to actually be present to vote for certain things. I mean, they could just do it via phone call or whatever. But we pay for them to be there, so yeah.
But with him going down there and holding a meeting, it's going to bring a lot of cameras.
It sure will.
It's going to bring a lot of cameras.
And if they don't go, once again, what would that look like for them? Right,
because they're denying that it's happening. Well, they're already gearing up, just saying this is a political stunt. I'm not going to participate in a political stunt. Right. If so, the way the left is trying to portray it is that there's not an actual problem on the southern border. The Republicans are just making all of this up. That's how they're saying it. Because if it's not really happening, then it would be a political stunt. But if it is really happening, how is that a political stunt? Yeah. If it's something that they're bringing awareness to, it's not a political stunt. It's bringing awareness to a problem that we need to address.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Will, I want to bring up something else that's happening right now. This is an article from Epoch Times. It says the U.S. activates Space Force Command in the Indo-Pacific amid tensions with North Korea and China. And I thought this was really interesting. It says the U.S. Space Force activated its first component command in the Indo-Pacific region on November 22nd with the goal of deterring aggression in the region as tensions with China and North Korea continue to rise. The U.S. Space Force Indo-Pacific Command joins the U.S. Pacific Fleet, Air Forces, and Air Army Pacific Command and the U.S. Marine Corps, all headquartered in Hawaii as a component commands under the Pacific Command, the region's combatant command. So I guess that's one whole component there. It says the Space Command aims to deter conflict, if necessary, defeat aggression, deliver space combat power for the joint combined force, and defend U.S. vital interests with allies and partners. So I find it interesting, like, what kind of things can they do from space, Will? I mean, you know more about this than I do. Other than maybe, I know we have...
Let me put it this way. And
satellite this, and stuff. Okay? Yeah. I mean, I know they have that.
I don't know if you recall this, but I was looking at looking at the space stuff a long time ago, because I've always been a sci-fi type of guy. Right. Because I like watching those. But anyways... When Ronald Reagan was in office, do you remember what he did? They had these satellites in space that had rockets on them.
I don't actually.
You don't know that. Yes. I didn't know that. That's interesting. You didn't know that. Oh, I knew something that you didn't know. Ching ching, one for me.
Well, that's why I'm asking you, because I'm what exactly they had.
Ronald Reagan, when he was in office, there was talking about, having these satellites that had rockets on them in space. For various reasons. Uh-huh. And one of the things that came up, we used to talk about it when I was younger, is that, okay, so they're just out there. They have to maintain them. They have to do something with them.
I mean, how would they have enough power to...
They could put a space shuttle out there. I mean, they could put a space... You know how big a space shuttle is? They put it out in space. I mean, this is large. These are large. So they have these weapons. The weapons already been there. So put it this way.
So it's big like a space station.
Maybe not that big.
Okay.
Maybe not that big. Because space station is pretty big, yeah. Right? It's pretty big. But put it this way. Every time we find out about the technology, it's already been there 20 years. You've heard that expression, right? You've heard that. Just like our mobile phones and everything else, the technology, the computers, all that, everything that we're dealing with and we're touching, they're already 20 years in advance. Mm. They just haven't released that technology out to the public because they're trying to, there's two reasons. One, they want to capitalize on it, right? Via the money, right? And then the next one is that they want to be able to control it. They want to be able to control it and how much information people receive all at once. But the space program, again, is nothing new. It's nothing new. But they under President Trump, he created the Space Force.
I know that.
He said, he said, we need to go ahead and do it. We need to go ahead and do this.
They actually made fun of him for doing it, though.
Yeah, they were making fun of him. But right. The thing was, it was already kind of in place. But President Trump was really wanted to go further on it. He wanted to say, hey, we need to protect America.
Make an actual branch.
Because he was all about protecting America. He was all about America first. And the Democrats, the Democrats, the New World Order, the globalists, these elitists, the WEF people, the New World Order, or United Nations, they're all against the United States of America being a sovereign nation, because they can't have a one world order if the United States of America is not on board with it. So this is part of the reason why we have the open borders and everything else. But with this issue with China, right? we have to, and I think the reason why this is coming out, because they have to tell the world that we still have a leg up on China, because yeah. China's military presence on the planet has increasingly become very, very strong in the past years. And under the Biden regime is not doing anything about it. The Biden regime is just like, okay, well, we need to weaken our military while China, North Korea, Iran, and other tyrannical nations build up their military. And they've even called for the destruction of America. And the Biden regime just, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, the article actually goes on, funny to talk about China. It says, the People's Republic of China continues to develop counter space capabilities, including direct ascent, co-orbital electronic warfare, and directed energy capabilities that could contest or deny an adversary's access to and operations in the space domain during a crisis or conflict. So they don't have the capability yet, but they're working on it because they know that America has been developing this capability.
My question is how does this work with the flat earthers? I'm just asking the question here, because that's a growing movement, the flat earth whole concept, the flat earth, you know, the moon is round, the sun is round, Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, I guess Pluto's not a planet, but it's still round. And we got Venus and we got Mars, all of those are round, just the earth is flat. And everything else is round, but the earth is flat.
I mean, you had to bring that up. But listen, it says China intends to pursue weapons capable of destroying satellites that go up into the earth orbit. So,
when, you know, during wartime of warfare, one of the best things you can do to your enemy is break down communication.
Now, that's seriously like sci-fi right there. Like, everything's coming from space and the ground and everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is. And, you know, there's another thing, EMP. A lot of people don't know about that. The electronic magnetic pulse, right? EMP, they can set off an EMP bomb. That is a real thing. And before, people used to say, oh, that's just, you know, conspiracy talk. That's not even real. But they can actually do that. There's EMP bombs that they can set off that will take out your home electricity, your vehicles, everything that's running on electricity. They have that. And, you know, we have a thing that we're actually working with where you can actually get something that can protect yourself from EMP. But if you're interested, anyone that's listening, send me an email, contact@uniteamericafirst.com, and I will send you some information.
So listen to this, Will. I thought this was interesting. This is actually in the Jerusalem Post, which is one of the newspapers that we look at overseas. And it says, Iran commander threatens to kidnap and enslave Netanyahu.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
I mean, this is like getting crazy over there. It says they are also urged to destroy the Jewish state, calling it the child murdering regime.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, it makes me think about one time I was in LA and they were having this pro-Palestine event, and I went to it. And of course, you had people that were pro-Israel on one side of the street and the pro-Palestine people on the other side of the street. Well, you know, no one knows who I am in that circle, so I just go there because I 100% support Israel because I believe what God's word says. So I'm over there and I'm just talking to the people who's pro-Palestinian. I'm just going around talking to them and they're like spilling the beans. You know, one of the things that they said, Shannon, over on the Palestinian side,
what's that?
Is that they said that the Israelites in the middle of the night, every single night, they go into Palestinian territory and kidnap children and take them off and haul them off. And they don't know where they're hauling the children off. And
I remember that.
A question. I said, so, okay. I said, wow, I've never heard of that. And then I asked a question. I said, so why do you think PBS hasn't talked about it? Why do you think CNN and MSNBC hasn't talked about it? Why do you think these world news organizations haven't been talking about it? And it kind of looked at me. Oh, you're one of them, aren't you? I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm one of them?
It's funny that they knew what them was.
Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean I'm one of them? I mean, I said, just think about what you're saying, because if that was the case, you have NPR, PBS, all of them, it would be all over the world news that they're kidnapping kids every single night and hauling them off and they don't know where. Don't you think that would be in the news every day?
You would think.
I mean, why would they suppress that? Because CNN, MSNBC, PBS, NPR, they do not like Israel just as much as the Democrats here don't like Israel.
That's true, actually, yeah.
So I'm like, why wouldn't they have it on the news? And they just kind of looked at me. And then they start going, don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. I'm like, what?
He's a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, I'm like, what?
I just asked a simple question. And then when the wheels start turning, then they don't want to talk. But I do that. It's like that all the time. Mm. It's like that all the time. See, I didn't have to curse at him. All I had to do is just ask the question to get them to start thinking. Oh, yeah, he might be right. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. He's going to make us look like idiots.
And they're going to record it. Pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for all yeah. America to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, listen to this, Will. Today, you know, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how the Supreme Court was blocking the state of New York, or not the state of New York. It's the J6 committee wants access to Trump's records, tax records, right?
Right, they want to find something in there.
But the Supreme Court orders Trump's tax returns to be turned over to the House Democrats now.
They're ordering it.
And you know what? It's funny to me because
I think his lawyers should just, I mean, you know, they're going to appeal it, right? I think they're going to appeal it and they should be able to appeal it, right? Yeah. They should be able to appeal it because it's just still just another witch hunt. President Trump hasn't committed any crimes. They're wanting to do this to try to see if they can find something. They're fishing again. And again, they're only doing this because who he is, because of all the great things that he did as president, mm-hmm. because he just announced that he's running for president 2024. Whoop, whoop. Right. So now they're still trying to go after him. Never before in the history of this nation have they ever done this to anybody. Right. This is them. This is political.
This is political. Right. And, you know, the sad thing is they were being held by the Treasury report, by the Treasury Department, and the Treasury Department wasn't going to release them until they got the final court action, which now today came down that they have to release the documents. But Will, we actually played a video on one of our shows where Jim Jordan and Comer were actually asking the Treasury Department for Biden's financial records as they're starting their inquiry into Biden's business dealings.
Well, Hunter Biden with the 150 right. plus SRs. Right.
And they actually are correlating it with the proof they got from the laptop and other testimonies or right. whistleblowers or whatever. Right. And the Treasury Department is not only refusing, they're not even answering Jim Jordan and Comer. They're not even responding.
So here we have members of Congress asking for documentation that has not been under top secret, the cloak of top secretness.
No, it's not.
There's nothing top secret about it.
Correct.
There's no need to redact anything unless it's, you know, Social Security number or something on it. But other than that, there's no need to redact anything. And they're being denied access to this information. Right. Why are they being denied right. access to
and
this
the
information?
And one reason why they're asking for it is why? Because when Biden got into office, one of the first things he did was blocked Congress.
Oh, that's racist, right? Blacked.
Yeah. From getting the SARS reports, which are the security, what are they called? What do they stand for?
But it's 150 SARS report that Biden, when he first went into the White House, he purposely prevented them from being able to go and get that information.
It's
he
a
knew,
suspicious activity report. He knew that it
was going to come down the pipe. He right. knew that it was coming.
He knew that he had suspicious activity.
How was this not impeachable offense again?
Finances. I don't know, but he did it by a stroke of a pen. He did it by executive order saying that they couldn't do it. And so the Judiciary Committee or incoming Judiciary Committee said, okay, well, if we can't get the SARS reports, we know that there's 150 of them. Can you release his financial documents so we can research what is happening there?
No.
And they are complete. In fact,
they won't even answer the phone.
Jim Jordan said they actually created an office to help deflect them from even getting anything. Anytime they want something from the Biden administration or anybody involved, they have to go to this office. And he said, it's just a big sham. It's just a sham to make them go through hoops and leaps to get what they want.
It's the same thing they do with the oil companies. And they're saying what they want the oil companies to drill, drill, drill. But then the oil companies have to go through extra loop. And then when they get to that loop, they have to fill out some more paperwork for the other loops they got to go through.
Right. But it's so, you know what, if you want transparency from Trump, you should have transparency from Biden. I think actually this ruling should set the precedent, and therefore Biden's financial record should be also released.
Yes, we need, you know,
in
what,
my opinion, anyways.
Biden's financial record should be released from the day one that he went into public office. We should be able to see all of his financial records. Why? Because we pay him. We should be able to see all of that. Now, when he was a private citizen, when Joe Biden, whatever he was doing as a private citizen, that's another story. That should, you know what? That no one should be able to see that unless he wants to release it. But ever since he's been in political office, we should be able to see all of those records.
I mean, my question
and Nancy Pelosi's.
My question is what does his tax records have to do with January 6th? It's absolutely absurd.
They're fishing. That's all that they're doing. They're trying to find something. And it's like this. We got to find something. We got to get something to prevent Trump returning. Because if he returns, he's going to destroy all of the damage that we've done. You hear that? He's going to destroy. Trump will destroy all of the damage that they have done.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I want to talk about something else that just got under our skin yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And we can't talk about it on other shows, right? But we're going to talk about it here. Yesterday, Sunny Hostin, which is on The View, they were talking about LGBT community because, of course, you know that there was that Colorado supposed LGBT nightclub that was shot up. 5 people were unfortunately killed. It's a sad situation, right?
So how do we know that the person went in there because he was hatred towards the LGBT community?
Well, I haven't really, of course, because they're investigating it because he's alive. So
the reason why I asked that because when Paul Pelosi got hammered, they said that he was a mega Republican. You remember? So what's to stop them from saying that this guy went in there to do this because they were living sodomite lifestyles, right?
Right.
What's to say? He could have been a flaming, you know, whatever himself. Mm-hmm. But they would never release that information. They're going to push the narrative that he was there because that he did not like people living that lifestyle.
Well, unfortunately, they said what is happening is the shooter is literally not talking. They've put him in an interrogation room.
Where are they getting this information from then?
Well, so they're investigating his past, but apparently he's done such things as he threatened to bomb his mom's home. So it just sounds like he was just a sick person.
He was distraught.
In general, I don't know if his mom was LGBTQ.
But see, the thing is,
at some point she wasn't because she had him.
But the thing is, they're trying to say that Christians are the reason why this is happening. We're Christians and MAGA Republicans because of the whole, you know, these sick adults taking their kids to these dragon queen events. They're saying, oh, my goodness, this is the reason why it's happening, because they're trying to prevent us from sexualizing kids.
Yeah, yeah. And she said on The View, and this was, oh, my gosh, this was just sickening to me. And this is a part of these people that I don't understand how their brain works. Because Sunny considers herself to be a Catholic, right?
She's demonic, though.
She said that if Jesus was alive today, that he would be the grand marshal of the LGBT parades.
Oh, my goodness.
That he would be embracing it.
Where does she get that from? But you know what? She's not the first one to say that kind of rhetoric, right?
She follows it up by saying, I really, really believe that. And I'm just sitting here going, you can believe it all day long, but the Bible does not give you any reference that would actually be what he would be doing. If anything, he would be doing what, Will? He would be condemning him. He would go and talk to them, right? If they didn't listen to him, what would he do? he would turn and walk away because they've already been turned over to a reprobate
yes,
mind.
Yes. Well, right? a lot of those that have that way of thinking saying, well, you know, he hung out with the tax collector. He hung out with the prostitute. He hung out with, you know, just people, the
he
sinful
hung out
person.
With but he were sinful, which
but
all
he hung
are.
Out with them because he wanted to save them.
Right.
He wanted them to turn away from their wicked
exactly.
ways. And that's the part that they leave out.
Right.
They try to get everyone to believe that Jesus was there hanging out because he was like getting jiggy with it too.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was there to save them. He came to save. He didn't come to embrace their sinful acts. And they always leave that part out mm-hmm. because their minds are so demonic and twisted that they go with that. So let's talk about this real quick if we can. Let's talk about how there's this movement right now for them to try to sexualize kids. Do any of y'all have children? Any of y'all have grandchildren? Think about this right now. And this is for me. This is how I see this. We're living in biblical times because never before since Sodom and Gomorrah, since the days of Noah, has man openly sit there and say that children should be able to have sexual relations with adults. And before it used to be like, what are you talking about? They would do investigations. They would arrest somebody for even inciting the idea of an adult being with a child. But today they're acting like it's okay. Today they're saying that because you speak out against that, there's something wrong with you and you're the one being hateful. And then they have the nerve to sit there and say that sick adults taking their children to these dragon queen events, they're not taking them there to put them in harm's way because they're just having a good time. And they're saying these dragon queens, they're human beings too. They deserve love too. And they're saying it's okay. It's not okay. What is wrong with our society? What is wrong here? This should not be happening. This demonic stuff happening on the planet is only a clear sign of the days that we're living in. We are seeing it, people. You and I, we are experiencing what the Bible said would happen, just like it was in the days of Noah, just like it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be when the returning of Christ comes. We're seeing this biblical events take place. These evil demonic people are justifying sexualizing kids. I can't stand it. And you know what? They you would think that they would finally figure it out, especially like Disney. Disney just lost $1.5 billion because they're trying to sexualize kids. $1.5 billion. They had to fire the CEO that was pushing all of this wokeness because they said we're losing too much money. And the new CEO that came back said, you know what? We're not going to do this political wokeness crap. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said that's what he's saying. That's the reason why you lost money. But see, and they can't figure it out. You know why? Because these sick people have it in their minds that the children need to be sexualized for educational purposes. Not only do they just want to sexualize them, but they want to mutilate them. Putting them on puberty blockers, that's mutilation. Wanting to cut their genitals, that's mutilation. And you can't even reverse it after they do it. And there's no scientific reason for them to have to do this. There's none, zero. The only reason why they're doing this because they're sick, demonic, demented ways. That's the only reason why they're doing this. And I get real passionate about this. And some people have said, well, you need to stop being so passionate about this stuff. You need to stop being so outspoken about it. I said, really? And my question to them is like, why aren't you? How did we get here? So when you saw this happening 10 years ago, why didn't you say something then? And a lot of these people have seen this. A lot of these people saw this coming. And now is so much in our society. People are just like, you know what? Well, this is just the way life is. And that's the agenda of Satan, to get everyone to just be like, you know what? This is just the way things are. No, no. Things are just not evil. No, we can say no to this nonsense. We should be able to say no to it. That's part of free speech, even saying no to it. But they call it hate speech when you want to get in the way of them perverting your children, sexually attacking your children. They call that hateful. They don't. And you know what? They call that hateful, but they don't call it hateful when the kids are put in harm's way to possibly be sexually mutilated, to be possibly sexually abused by these pedophiles. They don't call that hateful. They call that love.
You know, it's interesting because we actually have a video or a soundbite of a on a liberal news outlet. I think it was MSNBC. I think it was. And basically this guy came on the show and he was saying, hey, listen, you know, the problem with these drag queen luncheons and drag queen libraries isn't the story time. It isn't the luncheon. It's the people that show up to counter them being there. And he namely said Proud Boys and Antifa, and they get out there and they create the dangerous situation, right? So I'm sitting here going, wait, so you think that people protesting the fact that they're hurting our children mentally is the issue, not the fact, he basically says,
it's not just mental, they're doing it physically.
He's saying that this lunchtime and reading time is harmless. It's innocent, that nothing bad is going on. When Will, we have showed lunch after lunch, we show kids in a bar, which is what they would call lunchtime, drag show,
yeah,
right? And the kids are putting money into their underwear or whatever. And we see them doing provocative movements. We see their stuff, you know, they bend over and their stuff is hanging from behind. We showed a drag
queen
luncheon
themselves,
where everybody was sitting there laughing and the kids were kind of scared at what they were looking at. And then afterwards, it says in the article that they were given sexual party favors. I'm sitting there going, how is this innocent?
It's not
they
innocent.
They portray it
they're
completely
perverted.
Different than what is actually going
they're,
on.
Yeah, they're perverted. And listen to this. This is on the heels of what of the violent act that just took place. Listen to this.
How significant are those two dates?
Yeah, and also hours before what they called an all-ages drag brunch, which is probably the number one target of these anti-LGBTQ events recently. Like, for example, the Proud Boys will go and protest any drag brunch, any drag story hour, anything that a child might go to meet a drag queen, not, you know, just to show them that they're human beings and people. They talk, they go there and they read Dr. Seuss there. They read regular books, but it's read by a drag queen and they, you know, they have breakfast. It is not some hypersexual event, but that's what it's viewed as on the far right.
You know what? It's not even
it is
far right.
That's a lie.
The far right is viewing what they're doing. It's not a point of view. The far right, the right period, people with sound mind, they're viewing what they are doing.
If it's not hypersexual, why is a drag queen even there? Why don't they just have story time without
yeah,
them?
Why do you have to do the right? Dragon, I mean, why, queen? Dragon, say dragon queen.
Yeah, Will doesn't
dragon.
Like what I say.
Dragon.
But he's lying.
Because they are their father, Satan, the dragon.
I don't think this man has actually been to one of these lunches.
No, he's probably one of the dragon queens that show up. He's just he's just looking like a man right now. When he gets off of here, he's probably going to go to the first library and find a kitty. I mean, this is sick people.
I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing because Will.
I mean, these people are sick. These people are sick. Listen to the rest of them.
Okay, yeah.
And these spaces have become dangerous places of real life information warfare. There's Proud Boys showing up on one side. Sometimes people like local Antifa members show up on the other side as a way to, it becomes a place where kids aren't safe, not because of the event itself, but because of this culture war that's been propped up.
You hear this? Not because of the event itself, not because they're sexualizing kids, these grown men flaunting their junk out in front of them. You know, people used to get arrested for that, but for some reason today, like I said, it's becoming more acceptable. It's just, oh, that's just the way of life. No, it's not.
On top of it, that's not something that should happen. This is not something, you know, these people should be able to live their lives without fear of being murdered, literally. But right now, that's the sort of climate that's been created by anti-LGBTQ protesters and, frankly, bigots.
You know what I think? Well, I think that the children should be able to have their innocence without parents pushing the sexualization agenda onto them.
Yeah, adults.
I think it's disgusting.
Sick adults.
And they twist it.
Where's the child protection services at?
The people outside actually don't want those children to be mentally and physically harmed. They're actually fighting for the kids' rights to not be subject to that type of thing.
Child protective services?
Right.
You know, any other time in the past. So this is what it is now. Child protective services only show up if you're a Trump supporter, a Christian, Then they want to come in and regulate your home. They want to come in and check that. If you don't want to send your child to a public school to be sexualized, to be indoctrinated, then they'll step in. But when you got these perverts that's wanting to take their kids to get them sexualized, and like, where's Child Protective Services at? Because they're putting their kids in harm's way. This reminds me when we were living in California, and I think I might have said it here on the audio podcast, where when we were in California and we went to a dinner with this family, we went to dinner with them. And while we were at dinner, the story about the Boy Scouts came up and about the pedophiles being in Boy Scouts. And I said that if they are known pedophiles, they should not be Boy Scout leaders. And they got upset with me.
This was a friend's family.
Yeah, this was supposed to be supposedly a friend, right? Yeah. And they got upset with me because I said no. And they go, why not? I said, because you don't put your child in harm's way. And they said, but you don't know if he's going to do that. I said, would you put your child in that position to find out? No. If they're known pedophiles and it's not even that they're known pedophiles. It's just they live that sodomy lifestyle. You don't know what they're going to do, because look at the dragon queen. This is all because of kids, and they love flaunting with the kids. They love it to no end.
Yeah.
This is a sick world we live in. 100%. And yeah, well, I have to discuss it with it every single time I think about it.
Absolutely. Well, we are at the end of the show. And hey, listen, everybody, we are thankful for you. We're thankful for you tuning in. We're thankful for you sharing. And if you are thankful for us, if you don't mind, go to uniteamericafirst.com/donate and support the channel. And we're not going to be here tomorrow. We're actually going to take some Thanksgiving time off. Much needed Thanksgiving time, right, Will?
Yep. We'll be here back on Monday.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday. But we appreciate all of you. Don't forget to tune in. Don't forget to share the podcast. And follow. If you haven't followed us, please follow us. And also, I want to thank all of you guys, because we've only been doing this show, what, Will, for like 38 days,
39 days now. No, yeah. 40 days. 40 days.
And
now,
we already have reached 10,000 downloads. We can't appreciate you enough for tuning in.
Yeah, 10,000 downloads already. That is amazing. 10,000 downloads. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for all the blessings. Thank you so much for sharing. We will see you next Monday, and have a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving, everybody. Take care.
God bless.